And Lord, we do thank you once again for this day, and thank you for your love, your kindness, your mercy. Now we thank you for your word, Lord, as you speak to our hearts. So Holy Spirit, we're asking that you speak to our hearts, minister to our spirit, Lord. Connect with our heart as we connected with you through worship and during worship, Lord, as you spoke to our hearts, how you're here to stay forever and always, how you're mighty to save, how you rose from the grave. Lord, we thank you and we bless you, Lord. Now we ask that you speak to us through your word. Give us practical advice that we can actually live your word, Lord. And through the power of your Holy Spirit, give us the strength so we can daily practice how to represent God the right way. We love you, we bless you, and we thank you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles to Psalms 18. We're still talking about the old and the new, where it tells us to speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns. So we're still speaking through the psalms, and then psalms has called us to a season of prayer. And so we've been talking about David. Make a note if you haven't, and I would suggest you bring your Bibles when you come to church. Novel concept, I know, but bring your Bibles. Even though we have it on the screen, bring it. Bring a notepad and a paper so you can take notes. Psalms 18, Natalie, verse 1. So bring your Bible, bring your notepad. You need to write things down. So if I say something that's not right, you say, Pastor, you said this, I wrote it down. Bring some clarity to it. Amen. Right. That's what it said. They searched the scriptures to see if those things were so. Not that I intend on saying anything that's out of the ordinary, but you should just be in the practice of that. And then you take your notes home and you look over them and let it speak to you during the week. Amen. So remember, we're still doing the Proverbs daily. Chapter 2 is incredible. I'm challenging you to read 1 Corinthians 13 so we know how to love, what love is and what it isn't. We're being challenged to live this life daily. We're being challenged to love daily. So go through Corinthians as well. And so here we are, the first Sunday in October. Happy New Year. Here we are, the first Sunday in October. It coincides this month with a couple of Jewish holidays. Rosh Hashanah, which is the Jewish New Year, they are in year 5777 because they don't believe Christ has come yet. They're still waiting for the Messiah. Now, some are just like anywhere else. Some do and some don't. But so it's Rosh Hashanah. It's 2-day celebration. Celebrates the day that God created the world. It also celebrates and highlights the relationship between God and humanity. Let me find my glasses so I can actually read. Amen. So it's what they do. They offer, and the Jewish custom, they offer and they reflect on the sins of last year, and then they pray for the sins that are coming up in the new year. So, amen. That's what they're doing. And they go out to find a body of water, whether it's an ocean, a stream, a sea, or something like that, and they cast bread in there. Look at that, the bread. We're going to break bread in a minute, too. Amen. Bread has always been significant to God, and so they cast bread, and that's just a way of them casting their sins away. We're also celebrating Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. It's a time of reflection, prayer, and repentance for 26 hours. So, if you have some Jewish colleagues at your job, they probably won't be at work tomorrow, but when they come back on Tuesday, just kind of share with them, how was the holiday? And then share your faith and just make that connection, because we know that the Old Testament, which is not really God concealed, because God revealed himself a lot in the Old Testament. So it says the Old Testament is God concealed and the New Testament is God revealed. But in the Old Testament, God revealed himself a lot as well. But just use it as you never argue with anyone. Just share and just share your significance and Jesus of Jesus Christ. I'm going to give you some circumstantial evidence as we talk about communion, and then we're going to go ahead and get into the lesson. But as far as Christ, remember, he split time in half. That's why we're in 2016. Although the Jewish calendar, like I said, it's in 57. Those that practice Judaism, they're in 5777 because they don't believe that Christ was the Messiah. They're still waiting on the Messiah. But we have that Christ split time in half. This is a circumstantial evidence. If you've ever been in a court of law, you know you can get convicted on circumstantial evidence, even if nobody saw you there. But when they have your footprints and your fingerprints and your DNA, they make an assumption, which is called circumstantial evidence, that you must have been there. So based on the circumstantial evidence, you get convicted. They didn't have to see you. But the evidence shows that you were there. Same thing with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay, make a note. He split time in half. The Jews went from a temple to a church. All of a sudden, churches are popping up everywhere. Why? Because of the resurrection. And we see churches on every corner now. Why? Because of what happened 2016 years ago. They start participating in the Lord's Supper. They didn't participate in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. They start doing the Lord's Supper. Then they stop doing circumcision and start doing baptism. And all the men said, amen. And then the witness of Jesus Christ after he resurrected by over 500 people. And he was there for 40 days. And then two more was the disciples. Only one died a natural death. The other ones were killed because they wouldn't stop talking about Jesus Christ. And it would have been easy for them to go back to when they first arrested him and they ran and hid and cussed people out and said they didn't know him. They could have stayed in that position. But for some reason, they said, you know what? We're going to die for this. He resurrected. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And then we have changed lives where people take the challenge to say, Lord, if you're real, come into my heart and take over my life. And we're witnesses to that right here, that Jesus is alive and well. So when we take communion, just really reflect on the circumstantial evidence. Those of us that's been over to Israel, we've seen the physical evidence over there as well. But this is not a hoax. It's not a joke. It's not a fable. It's not the Loch Ness Monster. It's not Bigfoot. It's the true and the living God. Somebody said, thank God it's not Bigfoot. It's the true and living God. It's not Mount Olympus with all the mythology and all that kind of stuff. So you stand strong in the word. So let's go to Psalms 18. Amen. So verse 1, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Remember, that's a song. That's David as he's in one of the most difficult and tense situations of his life. Matter of fact, look at verse 4. He says, the sorrows of death, the pangs of death. And that's word pangs. And when you have hunger pangs, when you're so hungry, your stomach is hurting. And he's saying the pangs of death. I'm in such a bad situation that I'm going to die. He said, the sorrows of death, the pangs of death surrounded me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. This is King David. This is the warrior David. And he's saying he's having a really bad day. So don't feel bad, ladies and gentlemen, when you have a really bad day. Amen. Don't feel bad when you feel like your whole world is crashed. It's all falling apart. Everything's surrounding you and there's no way out. Don't feel bad. Because you're not the first or the last. Verse 5, the sorrows of hell compassed me about all around me. The snares of death confronted me. And remember in verses 1 and 2 and 3, he called upon the Lord. He stated who God was first before he went into how he was feeling. So put God, make a note, put God before your feelings. Because you can feel good today. You cannot serve God based on your feelings. We already know somebody say amen. Because you will feel good today and tomorrow you'll be jacked up. So do you stop serving God based on your feelings? No way. Never. So he's not serving God based upon his feelings. He lifts God up. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my shield. He's the existing one. He's the almighty. Hey, man, I was having a bad day. I thought I was going to die. But I called upon the name of the Lord, who's worthy to be praised. So he's always lift God up over everything that you're going through, over all the difficult situations. Verse 6, in my distress, this is where I really get excited. In my distress, in my despondency, in my depression, I called upon the Lord. Make a note. He called first. He dialed the number. And then when the Lord answered, that the Lord right there is the existing one. And then he cried. He said, I called and I cried unto the Almighty. Sometimes you got to call God and sometimes you got to call and cry. And most times we need to be calling and crying at the same time. And don't just go to God when it's bad, but we go to God when it's good. And we call and cry, God, because you're just that good. That's what we call being grateful and thankful. You go when it's good, you go when it's not good, but you keep that connection, that direct connect right there. You never let that direct connect be broken. That's why we went over, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Never let your direct connect to God be broken. But David said he called and he cried. I'm like, I'm excited about that. Sounds like me, boy, I'm telling you. Unto my God, underline my because it's personal. Then look, God answers prayer. Make a note if you haven't already that God answers prayer. Yes, no, not now, wait, sit down, be quiet. As our parents used to say, go somewhere and sit down. Amen. God will tell you, go somewhere and sit down, I got this. That's an answer to your prayer. It's probably not the answer you want to hear, but that's what God is saying. And do you trust God enough when he tells you, go somewhere and sit down and trust me through the process? Do you go sit down and trust him? That's the key, family. We have to believe. Either we believe the word or we don't. We cannot have a relationship with God if we don't have enough faith to believe that God is who he says he is and he can do what he said he can do. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, unto my God. I don't know about you. I don't know what you're serving, but I'm crying unto my God, and that's the Almighty. Almighty. He called unto the existing one, and he cried to the Almighty, same God, different name. He heard my voice out of his temple. Thank you, Lord. And my cry came before him, even unto his ears. God answers prayer. Make a note that God answers prayer. Call, cry, understand the names of God, who God is, so you can call on all the names of God and expect an answer. So last week we talked about prayer, and we looked at a prayer last week. And then this week we're going to look at a prayer from the Master himself. Amen. Let's go to Matthew 6. And 5. So here we are. And I got so excited about this. Here we are. Jesus has concluded his Sermon on the Mount and he's teaching. Teaches about all kind of stuff. He teaches about murder and divorce, adultery, oaths, retaliation, love, giving. And then in 6:5, he's teaching on prayer. And as I went over the Lord's Prayer, I used to think the Lord's Prayer, just because people say it all the time. And as we're going to dissect this thing, most times the Lord's Prayer, you hear it so much, it just goes over your head. But watch when we dissect it. It's a hard word. It's a tough word. It's a beautiful prayer. And the prelude to the prayer, which is what we're going to read, I think most people ignore that. But the prelude to the prayer is just as good. So verse 5, and when you pray, it's not if you pray. Jesus is assuming that we are going to pray. He says, when you pray. Yes. It's like saying, if you breathe. No, it's not if you breathe, when I breathe, because I plan on breathing every day. So God is not saying if you pray. Jesus says, when you pray. Said, don't be like the fakes, the phonies, and the hypocrites are. He's saying, don't put on a show when you pray. There you go. Don't put on a show. It's not about the show. It's about what you know. But he said, listen to what he says. And when you pray, don't be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of people. Verily I say unto you, that's fake, and that's just what they get. That's all they get. And we know that you can pray anywhere. But they loved to just put on a show when they were praying. So people would think that they were so holy. Jesus called them whitewashed tombs. You look good on the outside, but inside you are dead man's bones. He's saying, when you pray, don't be like that. That's how David, when he prayed, he was broken down. His heart was broken. He was crying. He wasn't trying to put on a show. He was trying to connect with God because he needed God. You and I, we don't have time to put on a show when we pray. We got to go right to God because we need God. We need to hear from God. Our family depends on it. Our marriage depends on it. Our kids, our business, our ministry, everything depends on it. We don't have time to put on a show. Then Jesus breaks it down, which is a tough word. He said, but when you pray, enter into your closet, into a private place. And when you've shut the door, pray to your Father, which is in secret. And your Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward you openly. Sometimes you see the results of a blessed life, but you don't see the times where they're in that prayer closet crying and calling on God and snotting and blowing their nose with the tissue and the Kleenex because everything is falling apart. And then God rewards them openly and you hating on them, but you haven't put in the time that they put in. Go in there and close the door where it's nobody but you and God. And your Father, which sees in secret, will reward you openly. He says, verse 7, and when you pray, don't use vain repetitions. In other words, you don't need a lot of words. Okay? You don't need to say a lot. Okay? Why is it you don't need to say a lot? Because when you pray, don't use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. You can say a lot and be saying nothing. Was that a song, talking loud and saying nothing? You see, it's based on scripture. He says, but when you don't, family, we don't have to say a lot of words. It's a heart to heart connection. Okay? Make sure that your heart is connected to God. It's a heart thing. It's a connection to God. And all your praying should be motivated through love, not for a show, not for anything else. But I'm praying for someone. I'm praying for this because I love this. I love them. And I want to share God's love with them or through me for them. It's all motivated. When we pray and it's not motivated by love, then that's when we get off kilter. That's when we start going, you know, into all types of other stuff. It's our will and not God's will, which Jesus is going to speak to. It says, verse 8, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father. This is a word to somebody right now. This is the word of the day. I highlighted it in my notes. It says the word of the day, verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. That's why I say go in that closet and get real with God. See, that's the hard part. You got to go in that closet and be transparent with God, because God already knows what you need even before you ask him. So why am I putting on the show? Why am I playing games? God, you know I'm jacked up. God, I need some help. God, I need you to lead, guide, direct me. God, I need all you have for me, and I need to get in your word. I need to be disciplined. God, I need help. By the way, God, I know you already know all this, but I'm coming clean. So that's the hard part of the Lord's Prayer. See, it's transparency when you're in the room and it's just you and God. And that's what God said. You close the door, come clean. Let's talk. Let's heart to heart. Let's talk. I already know what you need. Do you know what you need? Come talk to me about it. And he says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. All right. So now he gets, that's the prelude. You got the prelude. He has to break it down what prayer is and what it's not. And he says, first off, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Underline, hallowed be thy name. Saying that God's name is to be reverenced. And we've lost that. They, matter of fact, they don't want to hallow God's name. They want to take God's name out of everything. The culture is saying, get rid of God. We don't want to hear that name anymore. We've heard it enough. Get rid of it. Take it out of everything. Watch a movie, it's a punchline or it's a curse word attached to it. We don't hallow God's name anymore. That's what Jesus said. First off, you recognize who God is, how reverent and reverence God's name. Remember how God is high and lifted up. That's what David did. David went right to the names of God at the beginning of his prayer. Called, I will love you, the Lord, my strength. Same model here. Jesus said, lift up the name. Lift God's name up above everything. Before you get into the prayer, before the first half speaks of God, and then the second half of this prayer talks about our needs. You lift God up all the time. When you keep your eyes on God and how big he is, then you see how small your problems are. It's a tough word. It's not a soft prayer. I do a lot of work with Catholic schools through the university, and they'll do their Hail Marys and the Lord's Prayer, and it just goes over their head. People say the Lord's Prayer, it goes right. It doesn't sink in that the name of God should be hallowed. And then that his kingdom should come, and then his will be done. See, that's tough right there, because now you got an exchange of wills. That's where it gets tough, because I want to do what I want to do. This is when the surrender, submission comes in. Somebody's will is going to be done. Somebody's will is going to be done. God is saying, the prayer is saying, Lord, your will be done in my life. Wow. So now I got to exchange my will for God's will. I don't know if I'm ready for that, because, you know, it's some things I got to do in life. It's some people I'm still, I don't care what God says, Sister Tara, I'm still going to hang out with those folks because that's my will. God's will say, no, that's not my, you got to get away from them. We got to exchange wills. You need to get away from them so I can send the right people in your life. Well, God, I ain't ready for that yet. See, there's a problem. See, that's why this is a tough prayer, because it's telling you to exchange your will for his. Not my will be done, his will be done. And look how it works. Someone passes away, which we've all had to deal with, and they leave a will. Exactly what they want done. All right. So remember, we died to self, right? We died to self. And so then we leave a will, which is exchanged for God's will. It happens in the natural. Somebody die and they leave a will. This is what needs to be done. And go do it. God says, when you die to me, I'm going to give you my will. And now you go do it. God, I don't want to do that. I don't want to die to you because your will might not be what I want. See, that's a tough word, because God said, I need you to sell everything. I need you to go on a mission field in Kenya. Oh, God, I was getting ready to buy me a car. He's getting ready to get me a house. You're talking about go to Kenya. See, that's why you got to be careful when you pray that, Brother Mickey, because God says, God, your will be, I got to go in the closet and say, Lord, I'm coming clean, and I want your will to be done in my life. I don't think we're ready for that. This is a hard word. This is a hard prayer. And it goes right over, our Father, which art, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be on earth as it is in heaven. That's why don't use vain repetition. The God of the Lord, the Lord of the stars and the moon who created everything. Man, just be quiet. Get in that closet and come clean and exchange your will for his. I don't want to hear all that. All right. It's a tough word. I'm like, I'm reading this. I'm like, whoa, I'm getting excited, but I'm getting like, wow, Lord. Oh, Am I ready to do this? Am I ready to do this? I don't know. So I'm going to challenge you all to read. I'm always adding something to the list. I'm challenging you this week, in addition to the Proverbs and what love is in 1 Corinthians 13, to add Matthew 6, 5 through 15. Read that, meditate on that. See if you're ready to exchange your will for God's will. And then the thing about it, God says he knows what we need even before we ask. And sometimes the need is not stuff. We think, okay, God knows I need to pay the bills. God knows that. His will is to pay the bills. I guess maybe his will might not be to pay the bills. His will might be you need to get out of there. I don't know. I'm shutting that door to open another one. I don't know. But when you pray his will, then you're asking God, show me. But I don't want to pray the will because I'm in a tough place. I'm not going to go in private. I'm not going to close the door because God might really speak to me and I might not like what he says because I'm not ready to exchange my will. But see, he knows what we need, and maybe we need patience. So it's not stuff. Maybe I need patience. Maybe I need discipline. Maybe I need to humble myself. Maybe I need to start operating in love and forgiveness. He knows what we need. So we get in that closet and we're talking to him. He's going to show us what we need even before we ask. And it might not be what we think we need. That's why when you're ready to commit to prayer like David went, David, I'm getting ready to die. God, I'm lifting you up. I'm getting ready to die. And you delivered me. I called and I cried because I've reached the end of my rope. So family, when we start talking about exchanging wills for wills, that's mature Christianity. All right, here we go. Verse 10, your kingdom come, Lord. Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. So I give you daily bread today, Lord. Give me what I need today. Amen. All right. Not next week, Lord. I just give it to me today. The world will tell you that you need $1 million in your 401k to retire. To retire comfortably. Say you need at least $1 million. And you stressing and trying to get it. And folks saving $1 million, dying and spending eternity in hell. God says, I just want to give you daily bread. I just need you to trust me today. Trust me with all your heart today. And then tomorrow, I need you to do the same thing. This is a faith walk day to day. Lord, just give me my daily bread. And most of us would say each day we might not have what we want, but we have what we need. Remember, God didn't say that he'll give you what you want. He said he'll give you what you need. Think about it. If God gave us everything we want, if God gave us everything we want, we wouldn't even hang out with God. We'd get it and move on. Yeah. We'd be on to the next. Yeah. We'd be out of control. So I said, I just got to give you what you need so you can trust me through the process. Otherwise, we don't know how to trust God. But yesterday we had our daily bread. We had food, shelter, and clothing. God's committed to giving us that, and he's saying, you just trust me through the process. You don't need $1 million in your bank account to retire. You just need to keep walking with God, because remember, we're just passing through this anyway. You're not going to be able to take it with you. Leave your family here all jacked up because they're going to be fighting over it, not speaking to each other. And quickly self-destructing without God. So this daily bread talks about divine providence. God, I just need you provide for me today, Lord. I trust you to provide for tomorrow. And Jesus told him, don't take no thought for tomorrow. What you should do, where you should go. It's enough evil today. You ain't got to worry about tomorrow. Just trust God for your daily bread. I had something that says read this, so let me read it in my notes. And when it's talking about to the transfer of wills, um, Okay, we're not ready to exchange our wills. We might say it, but we are not ready to do it. We are not willing to give up certain relationships, habits, vices, ego, pride, and secret things. God says, let's get into your private closet and be transparent. For most people, it goes right over our head. You can come to church. It says, read this. I wrote in my notes. It says, you can come to church each week and still hide from God. You can come to church each week and never be transparent and real with God. The new man wants to be transparent and connect to God. The old man wants to be lazy and hide from God. Read this. Okay, I did. All right. This is all under the guise of the new versus the old. The new wants to be transparent, connect, and draw close to God and come clean. The old man says, no, I'm going to be lazy, I'm going to kick back, and I'm going to hide from God because I'm not ready yet. Verse 12, let's keep it pushing. And forgive us of our sins as we forgive others. Make a note of that. Jesus is going to mention that twice. As I was reading this, it all came back to, are you ready? He's saying, if you can't forgive others of their sins, he said, and we're going to see this at the end. He said, don't even waste your time praying. Don't even waste. If you can't forgive others, if you can't forgive that parent, that son, that daughter, that spouse, that ex-spouse, whatever it is, he said, you can't forgive them. Don't even waste your time praying, because I'm not going to forgive you of your sins. We're going to read it. I'm not making this stuff up. This is all. And well, that was actually a footnote, because he had prayed and said, amen. He said, by the way, all right, let's get there. OK. All right. Verse 12, forgive us our debts as we forgive us our sins as we forgive others, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours, Lord, is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So be it. Right. That's what amen means. So be it. And then Jesus said, by the way, let me go back to verse 12. This is what Jesus said. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Well, why are we still talking about this sin thing? Verse 15. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Wait a minute. So you're saying I can say all these prayers and all this and come clean and have all this unforgiveness in my heart and not be forgiven? That's exactly what he's saying. That's exactly what God is saying. Don't waste your time praying if you're holding something in your heart against somebody else. Don't even waste your time. Because if you can't forgive them, God's not forgiving you. And you, if you can't be forgiven, then you not cleansed from your sins. You're still dead in your sins. You're not even headed to eternity with Christ. So stop praying, forgive people, and then get back in that closet and pray. We're sitting here trying to be all spiritual and holding all this unforgiveness in our heart. And Jesus said, I died on the cross for you, and you can't forgive others? And you expect me to hear your prayer? He said, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm asking you to forgive them just like I forgave you. And if you don't, if you can't forgive them, then I won't forgive you. Let's do it like that. Now go get in the closet and be transparent and come clean and let's exchange wills. Oh, that's a tough word. That's a tough word. Look what I wrote. It said, read this too. After all that praying, and I know the women pray on Tuesday, and we pray on Wednesday together here. Listen to this. After all that praying, you can still be in your sins because you refuse to forgive that parent, that brother, sister, father, mother, friend, spouse, co-worker, ex-spouse, boss, pastor, deacon, church member, teacher. Anybody else I'm forgetting? It says that right there. Anybody else I'm forgetting? Huh? A friend. Let me read it again. After all that praying, You can still be in your sins because you refuse to forgive that parent, brother, sister, father, mother, friend, spouse, co-worker, boss, pastor, deacon, church member, teacher. Anybody I'm forgetting?
Sons, daughters.
Come on now. And this leads us, it's in my notes, this leads us directly into communion. In the night when Jesus was betrayed, he broke bread and gave thanks. Even if they betrayed you, you still got to be able to break bread now and give thanks. And we cannot harbor the sin in our heart. If we expect God to forgive us, we have to forgive others. Pastor Manny, Brother Anthony, come on up. And let's. So, hey, as we're getting ready to take communion, I want you to just think. God, I come clean. Let's pray before. Brothers, let's pause before we pass it out. And just bow your heads for a minute. Lord, our Father which art in heaven. Lord, we want to come clean. We ask for your forgiveness. Before we take communion, Lord, forgive us of our sins we committed knowingly and unknowingly. Lord, we want to exchange our heart and our will for your heart and your will. You said, go in that closet, shut the door, because it's just between us. Me and God, you and God, is just between you and God. And Lord, if there's any, before we take communion, if there's anybody that we're holding a grudge against, because they, nobody knows what they did to me, and well, God, you know. And as we partake in communion, we know that they hung you on that cross. And they spat on you and they slapped you and they put a crown of thorns on your head and they mocked you and they clowned you and you were God and you were innocent. And the first thing you said when you was on that cross, out of the last seven things, you said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you've just told us in your word that we need to forgive those who's trespassed against us. And we need to ask you, Lord, to forgive us of our sins. If not, we can pray and still be in our sins. So, Lord, we ask for forgiveness. Your word says if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Thank you that we're righteous through the blood of Jesus. Lord, we let them go. Whoever it is that we were holding on to, the son, the daughter, the friend, the co-worker, the church member, the pastor, the deacon, the boss, the spouse, the ex-spouse, whoever, Lord, the parent, that uncle, that aunt, Lord, we forgive them now. It's not worth us going to hell over. It's not worth us living with sin in our heart because we can't forgive, and you've already forgiven us. So we come clean and we confess and we repent. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brothers, go ahead and pass out the sacraments. Brother John, could you give us either? Something. I'm in love with Yahweh, but if you want to do something else, that's cool. So just as Brother John is just ministering in music, just think about just how beautiful it is that God has forgiven us. And all that he's done for us to set us free. Then you think about when you have your prayer time this week, how God wants to speak to your heart. Wants you to be transparent with your Father, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes. Thank you, Lord. so amazing. Thank you, Lord. You're here to stay, Yahweh. Yes, Lord, forever and ever.
Forever and always.
Elevate that which represents his body. Thank you, Lord, for paying the physical price so that we could be free. Your body was broken, Lord. Crucified on that cross, resurrected that third day. For love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved, might be rescued. Thank you for rescuing us on that cross, Lord. Thank you for your love that's forever and always the same. Go on and eat that which represents his body. Elevate that which represents his blood. Lord, we know that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Something always has to die for something to be forgiven and for something to live. So we thank you, Lord, that you made atonement for our sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. And as you were able to forgive us while we were yet sinners, you died for us. We can forgive others through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the understanding of your word that we must forgive in order to truly live. And that wouldn't have been possible without you shedding your blood. So thank you for dying on that cross. Thank you for rising on that third day to set us free and connect us back to you. We love you, Lord. We bless you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Go on and drink that which represents his blood. Pass your containers to your sacraments to the center aisle. We thank you, Lord, that you're here to stay. Thank you that you rose from the grave. Thank you, Lord, for putting our life in biblical perspective. Let us look at it through the lens of the Bible as we look at the world. As we look at everything that's going on, let us keep it in biblical perspective. Thank you for being our Father, Lord. Even if we didn't have a father, we thank you that we can trust you as our father. Even if we did have a father, we thank you that we can trust you as our heavenly father. And we love you for that, Lord. Let us commit to our heart and our minds all that you've done for us and all you've challenged us through this message, through this time of worship. We thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Stand to your feet, give someone a hug, and you are dismissed.